with you. As the choir comes down, take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter number 5. Remember, right after today's invitation, we will go right into the Lord's Supper. Matthew chapter number 5. We'll begin reading our text there in verse number 13. And we'll read through verse number 16. You'll see that we're talking about letting our light shine today. And if there's something that we need today to do in our country, it's to let our light shine. That's what we Christians are called to do. Look, find your place in verse number 13 and we'll begin reading. The Bible says, this is Jesus speaking, and He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Father, thank You for Your Word this morning. And I pray that You will equip us to walk closer with You as we walk out of this place, God. And equip us today to be a light to this world and to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to all that we come into contact with. So God, I pray that You'll help us as we walk out of this place to be more equipped, God, to do what You've called us to do. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read you a few stats before we get into the message this morning. Every day over the past year, on an average, 2,900 babies were killed by abortion. Every single day. That amounts to 1.1 million children were killed by abortion in the year in which you and I are living. 1.1 million children were killed by abortion. Over 11,000 people were murdered this year in our nation. That amounts to over 1.2 to 1.3 million people were killed at the hands of other people in our nation this year. And that is just two stats that you can find anywhere. I think it is safe to say this morning that you and I live in a dark world. It is safe to say this morning that you and I live in a very troubled world. But if you open up your Bible to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, you'll find that our world was not always like that. God created the world and it was perfect. It was all light. There was no sin. Everything was perfect until sin entered in Genesis chapter number 3. And when sin entered in Genesis 3, you'll find that the Bible says that our world has then been dominated by death and by darkness. That is our world if you look around today. And you'll find that the Bible says that our world is under condemnation right now. Our world is under judgment right now. John chapter number 3 says this is the judgment on our world. That light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. See, the judgment on our world is that light has come, but because men and women love darkness so much, they didn't go into the light. You know, the bad thing is, not only did they not go to the light, but the Bible says they have pleasure in darkness. They love being in darkness. They love acting against God. They love doing these things in immorality against God. That is the bad thing about the world in which you and I live in. But you know, you and I as Christians need to be very careful this morning that we don't point our finger too high at the world. Because in case we forget, you and I were once in darkness. And the only reason that we were transferred from darkness into the light was not by our own works, but by the grace of God. If it weren't for the grace of God, you and I would be exactly where the world is this morning. We were one time darkness, but the Bible says you've now been washed, you've been justified, you've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. You know, we could sit here all day and talk about how our nation has gone absolutely bonkers. Our politics have gone out the wall. The leaders have gone in left field. Everything is just absolutely insane in America today. And we are walking in total darkness and disobedience and rebellion against God. And we can talk about that for the next 45 minutes. But you know, that's not the message for today. Because I want to propose something to you this morning. The problem is not that our world is getting darker. You'll find all throughout the Bible, it's always been dark. You know what the problem with our world is? The light is dimming. The light is not shining as much as it used to. It's always been dark. But the reason it's just as dark now, probably more than it ever has been, is because the light is no longer shining. It is beginning to dim. And if there is something that you and I need to do as we approach the year 2020, if we need something, we need Christians to stand up and let their light shine again in the world in which you and I are living. Because you see, the message in Matthew chapter number 5 has not changed. Jesus looked at His followers. Jesus looked at those people that wanted to follow Him with all of their heart and said, "You are the light of the world." And if He was standing here this morning, He'd look at every single one of us and say, "You are the light of the world still today." And it is still our duty to shine as lights in this world. And I don't know about you, but now more than ever, we need to let it shine. You know, this message is called the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew chapter number 5. It's probably the simplest message Jesus preached in all of His ministry. It's very simple. He talks about how Christians are supposed to live. He talks about what their characteristics are supposed to be. And listen, Jesus is not saying you need to do this to be saved. Jesus is saying if you're saved, this is what you will do. You are the light of the world. And it's very simple. It's a very simple message throughout the whole Sermon on the Mount. You know, we had it was a basketball coach in middle school that used to tell us when we'd start just thinking up the house, we'd be terrible. We'd go to the sideline and he'd say, we'd be like, "What do we need to do?" He'd say this, "Get back to doing the simple things. Just do the simple things. Stop trying to do the extraordinary things and do those things that are simple." And you know that I think that's the message for us Christians today. Stop trying to do this and just do the simple things again. And the most simple thing we can do in this world is be a light. What was the first song you probably learned in Sunday school growing up? There you go. This, y'all ain't gonna sing. "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." Right? Simple. And you can say every word in that song. But you know what's so needed today? Let it shine. To let our light shine. So just for the next few minutes, I'm gonna give you 3 points about letting our light shine. Number one, let it shine through a person. Let it shine through a person. Verse number 14 says, "You are the light of the world." Now, there's something you and I need to realize this morning. You and I, as sinners in a still sinful body, it is impossible for us to produce light. We cannot produce life, and we cannot produce light. The only person that can produce life and light is God. So we need to realize something. We cannot shine our light because we don't have light. You know what Jesus said? "I am the light of the world," in John chapter number 8. Therefore, all we are called to do is reflect the light of Jesus. That's it. We can't produce light, but He can. And then it's our duty to just reflect His light to the world. And you know, the sun and the moon are very powerful illustrations of that. You can look into the face of the sun and you won't be able to see much longer if you stare at it too long. You know, you can look at the moon as long as you want to because the moon has no light. If you were to go and walk on the moon, you'd find that it's complete darkness. There's no light on it. Nobody can go walk on the sun. You'll be dead just like that. But you see, the reason why you can look up into the night sky and see that the moon is shining is because the sun is simply shining on the moon, and the moon is reflecting its light back down here to planet Earth. That's the only reason the moon has light, is because the sun is shining on it. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, is the sun, and we are the moon. We are called simply to reflect His light to this dark world. That's it. We're just called to reflect His light. I want you to think about how bright the sun is. We live 93 million miles away from the sun. 93 million miles away from the sun. And yet we still can't stare in it for a period of time. Remember when they had, I think it was the lunar eclipse like 2 years ago? You had to wear them special glasses, didn't you? Because if you looked too much into the sun when the moon crossed over it or whatever happened, you would go blind. So you had to have a special type of glasses to be able to look up at the sun for that certain period of time. That's how bright the sun is. We live 93 million miles away from the sun, yet if you look in it too long, it'll blind you. That's how bright the sun is. But think about this. There's somebody who created that sun and put it up there. Can you imagine how bright the one is who created it? If the sun is that bright, I can't imagine how bright the Son of God is. Can I tell you, how bright the Son of God is? When we get to heaven, we need a brand new body and we need a brand new set of eyes to be able to look at Him. Because if we were to look at Jesus in His glory with these set of eyes, they'd fall out and we'd all be dead in a split second. So we need a brand new body. The Bible says that city called heaven does not need a sun, it does not need a moon. Why? Because Jesus is there and Jesus lights up the whole entire city. That's how bright He is. When the Apostle Paul looked at Him, went blind just like that. That's how bright Jesus is. And let me ask you something. If Jesus is that bright and He lives here, don't you think He's going to shine through somewhere? I'll tell you what one preacher said. If someone as big as God lives on the inside of someone as small as us, don't you think He's going to shine forth somewhere? That's Jesus. If He's that bright and He lives on the inside of us Christians, don't you think that He's going to shine forth to other people somehow? You see, the light is already there. We don't have to produce it. We don't do anything to produce or show this light. We just let the light shine. It's already there. So you let it shine through a person. Number two, let it shine in public. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. In other words, nobody lights a candle and puts it under a basket. It's no use. I don't know if you realize this, but this is the first century. Back in 30, 33 AD. They didn't have electricity back then. It hadn't been invented yet. You know what they had to do in order to get light? Light a candle through oil so they could see at night in their homes. And Jesus uses an illustration here. He says, listen guys, do you realize how foolish this would be? If I were to light a candle and put a basket on top of it, how foolish would that be? It doesn't do what it's supposed to do if there's something over it. If there's something covering the light, that light can't give light to anybody in the house. You know what Jesus is saying? I am living on the inside of you, but unless you cover up the light, it does no good. Jesus is saying, don't cover up the light. Just let it shine, let it go, let everybody know that I am the light living on the inside of you. But so many Christians have covered up the light today. Man, it's easy to be a Christian at home. It's easy to come to church and let our light shine in between these four walls here. But when we go out into the public and our jobs at school, for some reason, some people just don't let it shine like they do inside of these four walls. But I've told you now more than ever, we need people to stand up and say, I don't care what people think, I am unashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be unashamed at home, we can be unashamed at church, but we need to go out there and say, yes, I am a follower of Christ, yes, I am a Christian, yes, I'm going to be a light to other people, and I'm unashamed of it. We're unashamed that we follow the Panthers, we're unashamed that we like the Tar Heels, or whoever you like, we're unashamed of that. We need to be unashamed of the fact that somebody came and died for us. I'm kind of ashamed of the Tar Heels, I'll be honest with you. Don't get on that subject. Let me ask you something. Do the people you work with know you're a Christian? How many of you go to school? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Do the people y'all go to school with know you're a Christian? Now listen, I'm not telling you to walk up tomorrow at work and say, I'm a Christian. If you let your light shine, they'll know you're a Christian. They won't have to ask you. They'll know. You say, how's that? When you go to work and everybody around you is cussing every other word, every other sentence, and you never do, you know what they're going to look at you and say? There's something different about you. You know when you go to school and everybody's going out to party, everybody's going to the drinking fest, everybody's doing all that, and for some reason you never go, you know what they're going to look at you and say? There's something different about them. They might think you're weird, but who cares? They're going to say there's something different about you. I've told you this story before. There was a black preacher that pastors New Life Baptist Church in Concord, North Carolina. He used to work at Duke Power up at the McGuire Station. And as a teenager, as an 18, 19-year-old, he tells his testimony that he did whatever he wanted to do. Went out drinking every weekend, went out drinking at lunch on the job, went out and did whatever he wanted to do. But for some reason, when everybody else was at work cussing, there was some man over here. And you never heard him say a word that everybody else was saying. When they went out drinking, he never went. You know, this old black man, for some reason, he came to work one day and the conviction of the Holy Spirit began to get all over him. and tell Him there's something's not right with your life and you need to get it right with God. And you know who he went to? That man that was shining a light at work and said, I don't know what I need to do, but I need God. And he led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that man is pastoring a church. You see, probably everybody else at work said, man, that guy's weird. But when it came the time for somebody needing God, they went directly to him. The world might think you're weird, but when it comes time that the Holy Spirit begins to work on their heart, they'll come to you. Because you're being a light. And be a light to somebody. And you know, there's a song that I listened to by the Browers. It's called Be a Light. And in the song it says this, how can a sinner ever be saved unless we show him the way? It's time to lead the blind and be a light. You know, if we have light and we hide it, that's almost more dangerous than not having a light at all. Because listen to what the Bible says. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, Satan, who hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. He said, listen, Satan hath blinded the minds of those that are unbelievers. Of those that don't believe, they are blind to the truth of the gospel. And if we hide the gospel, if we hide the light, they'll never see it. There are some people in your life, you're the only Bible they'll ever read. You are the only Jesus they will ever see. So if we hide our light, man, even the lost people won't be able to see it. Think about somebody that you work with that is lost. That you maybe go home to be with that is lost. If you do not let your light shine, who's going to show them? If our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. So Jesus said, don't hide it. Man, go out in public and be unashamed of the fact that you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let it shine to the people that are around you. Because you know what John said in Revelation? This is very interesting when you read this. You wouldn't think the Bible would say this. Very last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 22, the last chapter. John says this, he that is holy, continue to be holy. He that is filthy, continue to be filthy. He that is unjust, be just still. He that is righteous, be righteous still. You know what John said? John said, listen, it is time to make a decision. Because the time is coming to an end when it's close for Jesus to come back. And it is time to make a choice. Get on this side or get on that side. Be darkness or be light. Don't get in the middle. And Jesus said the same thing to one of the church. I don't want you to be cold, but you're lukewarm. You're in the middle. Be hot or cold. And that's what John says. Get on one side in the fence and stay on it. Because I'm telling you, the time is coming to a close. And it is time for us Christians to stop straddling the fence of light and darkness, but get on the light and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He's called us to do. So, secondly, let it shine not only through a person in Christ, but shine in public. But thirdly, and I'm almost done, you shine in your practice and the things that you do in verse number 16. Very familiar verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, men ought to see the good works that you are doing and therefore see God in it. And man, I'm interested in that last part. He said, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want you to think about this with me. Before there was a place called planet Earth, before there was a sun, a moon, or even one star in the sky, there was absolutely nothing. Now think about that and that'll blow your mind. And the only thing that was here was God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They've always been here. Even when the earth wasn't, they were. But for some reason, God decided to create everything. He decided to put a sun, a moon, all the stars. He decided to make planet Earth. And then He decided to make man. God didn't need to do that, but He did it. Why did God do that? God wanted to reveal Himself to you and me. That's why God created all things, and He wanted all things to glorify Him. Listen, Isaiah said this. Even everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. God said, the reason I have created you is for my glory. It's to glorify me. So what does that mean, to glorify God? That means to show God. That means to make God known. Now, there's a pretty good illustration for this, I think, that'll help you understand what it means to glorify God. Now, when you see that in the sky, what does that mean? I'll answer for you. That means a jet has just gone by, right? Now, you probably can't see the jet in that picture, can you? If you can, I want your eyes. But when you see that and you look up into the sky and you see that in the air, you know that a jet has just gone by, don't you? See, although you can't see the jet, you can see what it left behind. And you see, that's what glory really is all about. Is that although this world cannot see God, we are to show God by the lives that we live. And the Bible says God is invisible. So how do we show this world who God is? We show the world who God is by the things that we do. By the way that we love, by the good works that we do. That is what glory is all about. It is a visible manifestation of God. And our good works are to be a very visible manifestation of who God is. Jesus said, let all you do be done to glorify God. And you know, I forgot who said this. But they said, in every decision you make every day, the best thing to do is to ask yourself this question before you make it. Does this glorify God? And if it doesn't, walk away and don't do it. If it does, man, realize you can make God known to the people around you. So this week, as some of you go back to work, ask yourself that question. How can me doing my job make God known to the people around me? How can me doing my job in the way that I talk, in the actions that I do, show God to the people around me? When you go back to school in a few weeks, there's people all around you. How can you make them see God in your life? Because can I tell you, that is the very reason we are here, is to glorify Him in all that we do. Paul said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And man, that is the best way you and I can live our life. Is in everything that we do it to glorify God. Can I tell you, we live in a dark world. And it's gotten a lot darker. Not because it's gotten worse, but because the Christian's light has begun to dim. Can I tell you what the message still for today is? We're not supposed to fix the world. We're not supposed to bring peace to the world. We can't. What we are supposed to do is shine a light to the people around us to who Jesus Christ is. That is what you and I are called to do in this world. Be a light. So when you walk out of this place today, realize there are lost people all around you. And your duty and my duty is to ask ourselves this question. How can I show them who God is? How can I show them who the Lord Jesus Christ is by the things that I do? Can I tell you, when you do that, you'll find fulfillment in this life. Because that's exactly why every single one of us are here, to do just that, glorify Him. Musicians, you can come if you all stand to your feet. Father, thank You for Your Word this morning, that You've called us to be a light into this dark world. God, there's people in here that have family and friends back home that are walking in darkness, that have not yet come to the message of salvation through Christ. And God, I pray that You'll help them as they leave this place to be a light to them. And God, I pray that You've equipped us today to walk out of this place and be a light to everybody we come into contact with, Lord, to show this world who You are. And I'm thankful for those people that have been a light in my life. So God, help us as we leave this place to do our duty and be a light to those people around us. We thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.